regular meeting of the board of directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District is now in session. The pledge of allegiance.
Our flag is bright in color, brilliant in courage, and firm in faith. To the east, let that our sincere pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Director Robinson, present. Director Mello is absent today.
Please excuse us.
Excuse us. Director Chavez, Director Reyes. Okay, very good.
I will entertain a motion for adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. The board may allow additional input during the meeting. The 3-minute time limit on remarks is requested. Any public comment? Any public comment? Okay. Okay, yep.
But, about the minutes first, I want to
do. Oh, you want to make a comment about the minutes? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay, seeing none, well, we have one public comment about the minutes, and if there's some ask, we'll pull out the card. That's good. Moving on to the minutes. Approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of the Board of Directors held on August 2nd at 6:30. Is there a motion on that?
Moved to approve.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying. Oh, that's right, Mr. Samansky. Right. You were in the front.
I just got a couple of comments on the minutes. If you go to page 11859, it says about the 9th page. Vice President Urias moved to appoint Director Fellows, the Upper District Rep, the Bench Policy Services, Secretary Director Robinson moves. I do believe a comment from the speaker is such that once you have a motion on the floor, that motion must be dealt with before you consider another motion. The original motion may be amended, but for future reference, I think your attorney should be able to confirm this. My motion to the speaker would be that you can only have one motion on the floor for consideration at a particular course of time. The bottom of the next page, the last paragraph says, the president moved to table the matter at the future board meeting and that letters of interest be sought from the public to serve the upper district representatives and the top board. I'm not quite sure, that's rather ambiguous, and I cannot tell. The audio version of these minutes is not yet available on the website. It's not quite clear who was solicited, who was supposed to receive letters of interest to the public. Is that supposed to be a responsibility of the
general
manager or the chairman of the board or what? But anyway, the minutes maybe ought to clarify whose responsibility that was. Going on, I guess it is about. Oh, I guess here is the next page, page 11861. This is a minor editorial recommendation, but in the middle of that the larger paragraph is from the Director Fellow. In the middle, it says, he stated that state legislature has now reduced their salaries. That state legislators have reduced their salaries. Uh, finally, the next paragraph that quotes me, Mr. Spansky expressed concern about directors attending functions that are not related to district commission or business, and urged support for Vice President Urias' recommendation. I'm not quite sure I exactly said that. I think what I probably said was, I urge your serious consideration of his motion. So I don't think I took a position one way or another on his motion. Maybe you can review the audio from that, which I say is not available, but I just wanted to get that.
So noted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
On that note, I believe we took on the topic that Mr. Szymanski just mentioned on 11-859, I believe we took a vote on those two motions. I think it was 2-3 in both cases. Rice moved to reappoint Director Fellow. We voted on that. My recollection, it was a 2-3 vote. And I think we voted on Mr. Millard as well. I think the vote needs to be recorded in a minute. Well, the motion to reappoint Director Fellow, the vote is recorded on the next page. So something seems to be out of sequence. I mean, those votes are recorded on the next page, and I don't know why the motions are up here on 11-859. It's confusing to me, but I see the votes recorded on the next page, and I don't know why there was discussion, or maybe we just entertained public comment between the motion and the vote. I don't. Maybe it's correct.
So it's obvious that we have to.
Maybe we can listen to the tape or something.
We need to try to get the information off the tape as quickly as possible and make that. Put that on the website and make that available to the public, and also have better checks and balances on the minutes. So let's do that. Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to, the minutes. Correct. Yeah, the purpose of the minutes is not to record every discussion that took place, but just the action that the board has taken. And I believe these minutes do reflect the action that was taken by the board.
Okay. Any further comment from the directors regarding the minutes? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve them.
Move.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Moving on to item number 6, demands on the general account. Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, demands for this mid-month meeting total just under $44,000, with the largest payment the fiscal year 11-12 assessment for the San Diego Valley Protective Association number 16290. And any questions? Happy to answer.
Any questions for the general manager? Okay. Moving on to the financial, the original financial statement.
Also, the demand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. There is no financial statement, so we'll move on to the action item, discussion item, action/discussion items, which is...
I'd actually like to ask the board to consider item C first, and courtesy for our guests.
Item C? Is there any problem with that?
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. We'll move on to... We'll take out of order, take item HC first, and we have... two requests to speak. The first one I got was from Ashley Morales. So, Ashley?
I'd also like to speak on that.
All right, sir. Okay. Ready? Thank you. Alvaro Barragan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I guess you already know that this coming Friday we're going to be voting for either strike or and we only support like we can get for you guys. Get like a lot of things for you on the strike. I was in the
Absolutely. Thank you. Mr. Szymanski, you also wish to speak on that item?
Yeah, with all due respect to the previous speakers, I don't believe this is a matter of the work that you did for the Martin District. And therefore, I would urge, I don't see that Martin District should support these kind of resolutions that have nothing to do with the water business. There's 101 resolutions of this type that could be brought before this body. And Martin Districts take positions on matters that are not within their jurisdiction. Other entities are going to start taking resolutions on matters that are Martin District.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion on this item?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move to the table. Dave Szymanski is absolutely right. This is a nonpartisan water district. Maybe this is why we have to add so much to staff currently. We're having staff do things that are off the wall and irrelevant. This isn't a union hall. This isn't the Democratic Party headquarters. I'm against poverty, and I'm against cancer, and I think we stayed too long in Afghanistan. I mean, these are all issues that are irrelevant to the water district, and we burned up staff time doing something that has no connection whatsoever with the water district. And I'm not even going to abstain on this, but I'm moving the table. It's just irrelevant. I mean, who could be against fairness, but we're a nonpartisan water district. That's my motion.
Yes, sir.
So the tabling motion has priority. You have to address the tabling motion first.
Okay. Does it have to have a second?
Yes. Is there a second on the table? I table the motion.
Seeing the lack of a second, the motion dies.
I'll move to approve.
If you move to approve, is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion, gentlemen? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I'm not even going to abstain. I'll just vote present. I'm here, but I'm not voting.
Then I think Director Robinson, the minister, will reflect an abstention.
An abstention, right.
Well, I'm just voting present. And the minister can reflect what they reflect.
The DCD, we support, the three of us here support what you're doing, and we feel it's just, it's a good cause, so. You know, we will note that in the minutes, and we will support we will at this point. Okay. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck on that, and we'll be there.
Okay.
Moving on. Okay. Let's take item 8A now. It is discussion regarding appointment of at-will Upper District Representative to the Metropolitan Water District Board of Directors. We do have a vacancy right now, and we're looking to fill that vacancy. Do I hear any discussion from our board members?
I'd like to make a motion to appoint Director Chavez.
I'll second that motion. Any discussion? Mr. Robinson, sir?
I'll vote no.
Oh, okay, we'll have a question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Mr. Robinson? No?
Aye.
So it's a 3-1 vote. Congratulations, Director Chavez. Moving on to item 8B, the discussion, and we're very fortunate to have the General Counsel for the Main San Diego Basin here. Discussion on the amendments on the Main San Diego Basin judgment. Mr. Chairman, you want to open it up, sir?
Certainly. Yeah, we are. Fortunately, we have Ms. Carol Williams, the Executive Director from the Water Master, and Mr. Fred Fudas, the Water Master's General Counsel. Mr. Fudas has a presentation for your board this morning, both summarizing the proposed amendments to the judgment that Water Master is seeking, as well as for the request from the Water Quality Committee at its last meeting, a comparison of Water Master services among our Water Master that we work closely with, Central Basin, Mojave Basin, et cetera. So at this point, I'll turn it over to Mr. Fudas as a PowerPoint course.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to address the board, Mr. President. I think it's appropriate to start out the presentation just reminding everyone why the water interests in this basin are going through this exercise of trying to develop a consensus, and I stress that this is a consensual exercise to effect some amendments to our judgment that will provide added flexibility in the way that Watermaster does its business. While this past year we have been fortunate enough to have had a little bit of rain, I think we don't need to be reminded that we've experienced a very prolonged drought. And that drought has been exacerbated by regular regulatory constraints on water supplies coming from the north in the Bay Delta, and similarly regulatory constraints and drought on the Colorado River system. One of the fundamental premises of the judgment that governs water rights in the San Gabriel Basin is that we have a physical solution, which is essentially a management plan for the basin that requires the supplementation of our natural supplies with supplemental water, imported water or reclaimed water. In the past, we've been able to rely on the availability of those supplies on a relatively regular basis. We could call upon Upper District every year to provide us with those supplies, and we got them. Unfortunately, that isn't the case anymore. The era in which we could rely year by year on supplies being available to supplement pumping in this basin, I'm afraid to say, is gone. And what that requires is an adjustment of our management strategy to be able to take advantage of supplies that are available when they're available and perhaps buy more than we might actually need at that time. And in anticipation of those periods that will inevitably come where those supplies aren't available, we can't get the water. So we're trying to add some flexibility. I think we're not adding any new powers to speak of. We're just tinkering with the powers that Watermaster has to allow us to operate effectively in this new environment. So that's just by way of background. And I stress that this is a consensual exercise. We're not trying to do something that the community isn't in favor of on a consensus basis. And I think audits should go to the Watermaster Board and Carol Williams for working assiduously to try to bring that consensus together. And we really appreciate the involvement and the cooperation of the Board and your counsel in that effort as well. That having been said, why don't we go through the amendments? And I don't know exactly how much detail you want me to go through, so give me some signals if I'm spending too much time or too little time, and I'm happy to respond to questions as they come up. The first provision that I want to talk about is a slight change in the way we deal with export. One of the strategies for addressing the lack of year-to-year reliability of supplemental water supplies is to make better use of this fabulous resource we have in this area. That's the ability to store water underground. And this provision would allow parties and non-parties to store and then export the water from the basin. There are some restrictions on this export ability, though. It has to be subject to a Watermaster finding that there's no material injury. There has to be an agreement with Watermaster, and all of this activity has to comply with Watermaster rules and regulations. The notion that non-parties have access is something that's already in the judgment. That isn't new. So we're trying to recognize the value of this resource. Recent case law has suggested that storage space is a resource subject to Article 10, Section 2 of the California Constitution, which means that we have to maximize the utility of this resource. So that's what we're up to here. Exactly. Any questions? Can we go on, or do we need more details?
Well, when I was on the Water Master Board earlier, there's 13 adjudicated groundwater basins in the state of California. And more than 6 months ago, when I was on the Water Master Board, I requested when these amendments came out that such precedent be cited relevant to the other 13 groundwater basins. Which other adjudicated areas of California have a similar power? As in the first case law on this subject, there's great controversy down south on the San Gabriel River on whether the Water Replenishment District or the Municipal Water District have management control over that basin. This, as well as all the other amendments, are quite controversial. And I don't believe the work's been done the precedents, if there is any precedent on all these individual amendments. I mean, we're just going to list the amendments and then have a small discussion and vote. I don't think the work has been done yet to compare this situation to the other 13 similar situations in California. So we can go ahead with the exercise, but the work hasn't been done yet. I requested it 6 months ago.
I would like to comment on that.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate Director Robinson's comment. There is significant litigation in Central and West Basin on this very subject. That's precisely what we're trying to avoid. I mean, they're spending millions and millions of dollars fighting on that. And they don't have the benefit of a judgment that does address the issue of storage. Storage wasn't addressed in those two judgments in the way that it was, you know, with the foresight of Upper District and the other parties that were involved in the adjudication. There was a provision for how storage would be handled. We're blessed with that foresight. We're just trying to tweak that power to enable us to do a little bit more to address the reliability issues we're not facing.
Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to cite the last three paragraphs of the minutes that we just approved under Director Collins. Maintaining the assurance of healthy checks and balances is preferable to allowing one branch to duplicate and override the powers granted to other government branches, which could enact administrative gridlock. And I'm interposing another comment into this. We're perhaps interposing administrative gridlock in a crisis, pinning ourselves into a corner. I mean, how many agencies, if we run into a similar situation in a few years, similar to what happened to us 2 years ago, how many branches of government have to be satisfied before the policy can move? The Water Master has to... The Water Master has to be satisfied. Upper District has to be satisfied. While everybody is engaging in their turf wars, policy is frozen. And furthermore, the ratepayers and the taxpayers have to end up supporting this agency. The expanded powers we're about ready to talk about are going to justify further adding additions to the Water Master staff in order to help administer the situation. The ratepayers are going to have to support that as well. So not only did we enact a 15% rate increase early this year so we could pad our bureaucracy, here we go again. I mean, the ratepayers are going to get a double whammy and a more complicated government to support.
Okay. Any comments from the other board members? If not, Ms. Robinson, can we move forward? Yes, sir.
Well, just to comment on that briefly, this structure was set up 50 years ago, and it served, I would argue it served this basin very well. Right now, though, we're faced with a situation where supplies aren't available on a regular basis to supplement the natural native water of this basin. And it's to benefit the ratepayers, to reduce the cost of water, that we're seeking this flexibility to buy water, like in a year like this year, when it may be available, recognizing 3 years out it might not be available at all, or available only at extremely high prices that the ratepayers would have to bear. I would argue that we'd be subject to criticism from the ratepayers if we don't take these steps.
So again, our interim general manager set up a deal, we voted on it. Upper District has all of these powers. Why duplicate?
Maybe you want to answer that, Doug?
Just a quick answer. We did work on them, change working on a lot of deals, programs through the fund of water. But I think one of the things that I think what Fred's trying to say is what you've got is your primary customer here, the Water Master, trying to create mechanisms where they can generate the flexibility to generate funds to work with the upper district and purchase that water. So we wouldn't have to spend their money. So that's one of the things that has happened.
Well, generating funds, that's another controversy we haven't gotten to yet. So.
One of the things that I applaud, you know, as a member of the Water District of the Water Master Board, and I really think it's important for us to look at water, purchase water right now when there is water to be purchased, and for us to be able to store that water, because eventually we're going to hit another cycle of not having it. So I applaud that. I just wish the Water Master and Upper District were a little bit more aggressive looking for water. I think they have not been. And so I hope that some of this language here will allow us to work much more closely together to pursue water when it's available, like right now. So that's my take on it. But can we go ahead and proceed, Mr. Robinson? Okay.
So I think the president's comments are very apt. That's the whole purpose and design of this set of amendments. The next one I think we can deal with pretty quickly. We've had problems. I've had problems going to court and getting board members confirmed by the court in time to start the Water Master year on January 1 because we have November elections from time to time and there's a new board and new nominees. This will give us the ability to go into court after an election. Get your nominees confirmed by the court in time to start beginning January 1. That's the kind of cleanup purpose of this amendment.
I could comment that amendment, and I think there's amendment number 17. So that amendment we just discussed and one later on are the only amendments to the judgment that I support. All these others are bad policy.
Please continue.
Ownership of property. Right now there's a restriction on any ability of Water Master to own property or enter into leases beyond year tenancy. This hampers the flexibility just administratively of Water Master and it presages higher costs for the ratepayer to enter into these arrangements because they're difficult to find on an economic basis. However, we recognize there's issues about wholesale ownership of property by Water Master. So what we've done is made it clear that any ownership would be limited to a very narrow group of facilities, offices, key well, and Water Master would only have ownership as a trustee for the benefit of all the parties to the judgment, which in fact that's all of the duties of Water Master are pretty much as trustee, so that would be in line with the whole focus and design of the judgment.
Well, on that point, I think it would be rare if we hired a consultant, and most of the consultants, I suppose, that we've hired in the past are corporations, and they can own property because they're corporations. In this case, we have an entity which is an employee of a busy Superior Court judge, and it's unusual. I mean, if we were going to hire somebody to also have that person asking for permission to own property,
highly unusual. And I imagine it hasn't been checked yet, but the other 13 adjudications in the state of California, I wonder whether those other situations have this as a part of their rules.
Mr. General Counsel, what is your take on that? What's your opinion in terms of owning property, and is it something that Central Basin, West Basin, or does those other basins have?
No, it really depends upon the adjudication. As staff prepared a summary of kind of a survey of other adjudicated basins, and you'll see that some of them, I believe, do own property. Which one did I say that was?
Only Central doesn't? The rest do?
It's silent, okay.
Oh, it's silent.
But I think the issue that Mr. Fudow identifies is that it would be a very limited ownership rights, limited to facilities, and limited in terms of the actual ownership that's going to be held as a trustee for the, which limits their ability to do certain things with the property. The property can only be used to benefit the parties of Water Master.
Any other comments from the other directors? Okay. Go ahead.
Public policy education is there's two essential amendments there. One that allows us to hire experts, and one that allows us to Water Master staff and members to engage in educational activities. This brings up the word of lobbying, which has kind of been a lightning rod in this basin. I think this is poorly understood in the general public. You should understand that judges themselves do lobbying. It's a restricted area in which they can lobby. It has to deal with their judicial function, but they do lobby. And that is one of the, you know, the court, the judicial branch has that authority in a very limited sphere. So, you know, I think there is an ability of Water Master to lobby consistent with what the general authority is of the court appointed entities. The problem we have is back before I became general counsel to Water Master, and that's going back a ways, I was 91 or something, I've been counsel since 1993. There was an order issued that prohibited Water Master from lobbying, and that's about all it says. It doesn't specify what that means, to what extent it precludes activities such as staff meeting with elected representatives. You know, we're dealing with issues relating to endangered species. Can we hire experts to assist us with that for the public educational purposes? And the intent of this amendment is just to clarify that we can do that. There's a specific restriction that we can't hire registered lobbyists consistent with the order. Essentially what this is doing is allowing us to interpret in a very clear way what that order is.
Any other discussion on directors? If not, we'll move on.
I think that covers
I think that covers the lobbying.
Yeah, I mean, this probably would justify Water Master adding at least one or two positions to their current staff.
Okay, go ahead.
But in that regard, it should be understood that as a court-empowered public agency, the Water Master is subject to immediate direct control by the court. Any party to the judgment, if they think we're doing something untoward, can march into court on 30 days' notice and seek court clarification of anything we do. So, I mean, we have immediate direct control by all the parties to this judgment, including the district, about anything that we do. So, to the extent that people think we're abusing any authority that's created here, there's a direct, immediate remedy.
Okay, very good.
Insofar as borrowing is concerned, this is an issue. There's already authority in the judgment for Water Master to borrow, but it's limited to essentially a year's worth of borrowing in anticipation of the receipts from which we anticipate getting from our assessment authority. that served us well in the past, but in this new environment where we may have to raise funds very quickly to allow responsible agencies like the Upper District to take advantage of targets of opportunity to secure supply when they're available cheaply, we think that this flexibility will benefit everyone in the basin. So we're expanding that authority. We recognize the need to be fiscally responsible. This authority has a number of conditions attached to it, including court approval. We have to go into court and get the court to say, yes, this is okay. Plus, there's got to be some determination of how the cost of the debt will be allocated and any other matter that Watermaster might deem appropriate. Again, this is kind of a part of the suite of amendments that will add to our ability to raise money to help the responsible agencies such as Upper District.
And then any one of the partners in the Watermaster can petition the court to address this issue of borrowing.
Well, obviously, we have to go into court to get approval of seeking this debt, and anyone can object. Exactly.
Mr. Robinson.
This is an outrage. This is not flexibility. This is a pure duplication of Upper District's own authority. The national debt is, $14 trillion? The state of California has to, the legislature wrings its hands every year on July 1st to come up with a balanced budget. They go to the voters to approve bond issues. Our own state budget has a big hole in it, which gets all kinds of attention. Now we have different local entities. Upper District under the Municipal Water Code has all these powers. We're going to do it again and allow a court employee or a court judge's consultant to go into debt? I don't think so.
Maybe I should.
It doesn't seem like flexibility to me. It seems like just pure duplication.
Well, to the extent there is duplication, this is duplication that was created 50 years ago. And I think if one reads the history of how management in this basin evolved, and there's a good book on this subject, Dividing the Waters, I'm sure many of you have read it. Professor Blomquist, University of Indiana, put together a history of this basin. And all these issues were addressed at that time. And for a number of good reasons, it was decided to implement a judgment where Watermaster was involved and with the responsible agencies, dividing up the responsibility in the way it has worked now for over 50 years. So, and Watermaster isn't just a consultant. It is an agency of the court. And rather than being a legislative entity whose powers are dictated by legislation, it's a judicial agency whose powers are dictated by our judgment. We have a specific judgment that spells out what we do and how we do it. We're subject to court control. And that's was part of the arrangement that was set up back in the 1960s.
Let me stop right there. You know, we have 12 pages of amendments, gentlemen. Do we want to go through each one of these? Some of them are pretty non-controversial, I would think.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Director, it does say that it is a presentation. They've been taking action, so maybe we should just move it forward.
You want to go through
an action item? Depends on the future. Maybe we can talk to base.
My question is, do you want to go through each one of them?
This is crucially important stuff. I mean, this is like a rate increase. We can't just give a cursory discussion. I mean, and the work on this, sufficient work on this hasn't even been done. I mean, most of these powers that are being asked for, I believe, are unprecedented. If you check the other 13 adjudicated groundwater basins in California, this is big stuff, and we need to go all the way to the bottom.
I respect the will of
maybe we can make a comment towards the end of presentation. Maybe that might be.
Well, I just think that Director Robinson, being that he's a director, he has the right to take each item. But I if that's okay with the board, then we'll continue with these items one by one then. Okay. So continue, Mr. Kudash.
On borrowing. Borrowing is a power that's in a lot of the judgments. In fact, I've got a document sitting on my desk right now for a 4-year loan in the Chino Basin where borrowing is taking place to purchase supplemental water. Recycled water. Very quickly, we have a restriction on how much recycled water can be used as a supplement to native supplies in our judgment now. It's 30,000 acre feet. In light of where we are in the water world now, the notion is this isn't appropriate anymore. We've got to maximize our use of recycled water. The amendment will lift this restriction on recycled water. Facility sharing, I don't think this is controversial. There's kind of a provision that has been in the judgment that's just simply no longer applicable about facility sharing. Authority to sue. Watermaster has sued very successfully and unfortunately has been sued, although we're dealing with that hopefully and get it resolved shortly. But we want it in the judgment that we have that authority. It should be understood that Watermaster is akin to a court-appointed receiver. Receivers sue people all the time as part of their duty. So this is not an unprecedented authority for a court-empowered entity.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
I disagree. This is an unprecedented authority. Courts are sued every day as defendants. I mean, that's what the Court of Appeal in the California State Court of Art. A court is being sued and there's judgment question. But to be able to act as a plaintiff, I think it was 1990 or 1991, there was an Azusa Western off, there was a lawsuit regarding a, it's now in our inert landfill that was close to San Diego River. And Watermaster participated in that lawsuit, and they also, for some reason, ended up with their name on the case. However, Metropolitan Water District paid most of the bills. Upper District paid some of the bills. And I questioned at our committee meeting for an accounting on that. I understand that the regional board at the time reimbursed the Watermaster for their attorney fees. But if this amendment is enacted, this would allow the Watermaster Board on their own authority to go after people. Issues up the canyon, environmental issues, they could incur millions of dollars in attorney fees. Here's an employee of a judge that's going after people. Judges are sued, courts are sued, but the ability to act as a plaintiff, I'm not a lawyer, but in this situation, that seems fairly unprecedented.
Okay. Any other comments from any other directors? Okay. Moving on.
Our annual report, this is pretty much just an administrative change. We're in the electronic age. We spend thousands of dollars on postage and cutting down trees, sending out pieces of paper, and there's no reason we can't post large documents on a website and save everyone the trouble and the postage and the costs of sending out annual reports.
Okay, that seems pretty non-controversial. Mr. Robinson, anything to say about that?
I wasn't listening. I lost that one.
All right.
I'll try to focus for a little bit better.
Okay.
Well, our judgment has a restriction on our ability to spread supplemental water when the key well level is at 250 feet or higher. That may have served the basin well when supplemental supplies were available on a yearly dependent basis. That isn't the case anymore. That restriction inhibits our flexibility to secure supplemental water supplies when they're available. And so we would lift that limitation.
Yeah, I agree with that one as well.
Yes. Yes. Ms. Brown, can we wait just so we can finish this and then you can jot down your question, please? Yes, go ahead, Mr. Brown.
Just very quickly on minimal producers. Minimal producers kind of enjoy a privileged status under our judgment. These are producers that produce small amounts of water. They haven't been able to have the responsibility of even reporting the water master. That would change under these judgments. The concern is we can die a death of a thousand cuts here unless we're vigilant and get all the data that's available. And the amendment also contemplates the grandfathering in of existing minimal producers, but going forward, this amendment would contemplate there would be no further minimal producers. So everyone who produces water from the basin would have to meter and report and pay assessments. And again, it's the notion that the resource is way too valuable now.
No free rides.
No free rides. The next one is kind of at the core of our need for flexibility. We have the ability, obviously, now to assess for replacement water, but it's on a bucket-per-bucket basis. It's essentially overproduced. Right now, we're entitled to buy one bucket of water for every bucket of water of overproduction. As I've mentioned, that doesn't give us the flexibility to seek out targets of opportunity when cheap water might be available. So these amendments would give us more flexibility in determining the amount, the timing of the replacement water assessments, and would allow us to borrow internally from any other fund if there is a target of opportunity where we can use that water.
Any questions? No? Moving on.
The next one, the next provision establishes an assessment relating to storage and export of supplemental water. This would cover the cost of administration, of losses, get expanded authority, consistent with the expanded use of the storage space in the basin to make sure the basin is kept whole from a financial point of view.
Okay.
Water resource development. This would be an assessment that would allow Water Master to raise money to support efforts to develop new sources of water, to secure new sources of supplemental water, enhance the recycled water activities. Yes,
I can go back to that previous one that you just talked about.
Sure.
Unexploited water and storage. Do you see that as any kind of competition with upper districts? Since that's what we do, we store water and we look for water, export water and purchase water. Do you see any kind of conflict there between our district and?
Well, I think that's been worked out under the judgment. I mean, they do have accounts, and we've handled that, I think, relatively smoothly for us. The initiation of the judgment.
Feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with Fred. I mean, that structure has been in place for quite a while. I mean, the
but they're expanding the structure now, so are you okay with that?
Yeah, but this is there's going to be an expansion of your activities. You're going to need funds to pay for that.
Right. Well, just the administrative cost of handling this enhanced export. Right now, there's a restriction on the ability to export from that basin.
And believe me, I think that if we don't take advantage of available water out there, certainly Water Masters take advantage of available water out there and aggressively pursue that available water. But I just want to make sure we're not in competition. You understand?
Well, I think you'll see we look to you to perform that function. That's how the judgment is.
Okay. That's good.
One more clarification. The ability to
get water into the basin. Right now, it's for storage. It goes through the responsible agencies, which is upper district.
Right.
So a storage account will have to go through the upper district.
Right. But my question is, Steve, is if the upper district has not aggressively pursued water for whatever reasons, you know, I think that other entities like Water Master should be allowed to pursue that water as long as water, as long as upper district has first option, and they have failed to take that option, then I think Water Master should pursue that water to the extent that they can purchase and store it.
I think we have an amendment we'll get
okay.
to that addresses that precise point.
So you have that option?
It would be for non-parties, for instance. Some of the folks in the Drew Valley, very outside of our basin, home of our district, have been looking to be able to store water in this basin and to be able to extract it and send it back to their own service area over time. This provision will allow you to do that.
And that's exciting because, about a year ago, and before Shane got here, Long Beach wanted to store water in our basin. And it didn't happen for whatever reasons, did not happen. But I think now they'll have that option of coming to you and saying, we want to store water in your basin. Okay.
But this would allow us to cover the cost.
Sure. Okay.
Again, this is pure duplication of upper district powers. Performed by a court entity instead of the local legislature, which is us. If Long Beach wants to come to us and have some water stored in the basin, it could be taken care of. You don't need to ask permission for it. It's better to ask permission from one entity rather than two or three or four.
I agree with you, Bill, and that's right. I don't want to get into
our government, the Constitution, our government was really originally set up with separation of powers between a judicial branch and a legislative branch and an executive. And when branches of government are yielding powers to other branches of government, nobody knows what's going on. And this flies in the face of traditional American values.
And I understand where you're going with that, but I don't want us to lose an opportunity to be able to bring water to the San Gabriel Basin, whether it's ourselves or the Water Master. If an opportunity presents itself to bring water to the basin, I want us to pursue that aggressively. And so that's just my take on it. So anyway, if you want to continue.
One of the key components here is the export.
Right.
Long Beach could not export if they brought it.
And then they could.
Not
yeah, and I think that's important. That's the point. Yeah.
But again, I would point out that this relationship between Upper District and Water Master is not something new. It was something that was set up, and decided by the parties in the 1960s that found its way into the judgment in the 1970s.
Maybe the better way to tackle this, Kern County can export. There's a Kern water bank, and there are areas, I think Chino Basin has a way of exporting water. Maybe this should be dealt with by the state legislature rather than supporting this controversial amendment.
Yes, I would point out that Chino Basin has had this authority and ability and has done it for a number of years already.
Yeah.
And we haven't enjoyed it.
And the Kern Water Bank, you can export water, and that does this all the time. Kern Water Bank. Kern Water District.
Well,
maybe our general manager can fill us in on that situation. He probably knows more about it than I do.
Well, at this point, let's just proceed with this, and we can talk about Chino Basin purchasing water, which I'm familiar with, and they've taken advantage of that. Anyway, that's another story. Continues.
The water resource development assessment, is that something else? Is there any questions on that? I forget whether we concluded on that yet or not.
I don't.
This allow you to for us to raise money to support enhanced recycled water, securing
additional supplemental water supplies and the like.
Is there any questions on that?
Last year we were doing that. We were working with the other entities to try to form a GPA.
Yeah, it really, you're absolutely right. And it just,
again.
You know, it really is a failure on the part of this agency that we have not pursued a joint powers authority with interested parties like Inland Empire, Three Valleys, that we have not pursued that. And I see that as a failure of this district not to do that, because regionalization and the enhancing of moving water within our respective service areas is the future of water. And you know, we have not taken advantage of that. It's unfortunate that this district has not pursued that.
I agree with Director Robinson on that point.
But in being as it may, let's continue.
I think, did we cover that on the water resource development new provisions? Was that new assessment?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
The next one is, I think, addresses the President's comment a few minutes ago. This would allow Water Master, if one responsible agency can't provide the water and another one can, Water Master would have the ability, after consultation with everyone, to go to that other responsible agency. If no responsible agency had water available, Water Master would have the ability to go out and seek out supplemental water sources of its own. But if it did so and found an opportunity, essentially it would have to extend a right of first refusal to any or all of the responsible agencies to match that or come up with a comparable offer. So I think this is kind of in line with the President's comments about we want to get the water one way or another.
I apologize. Anything from the board? No? Moving on, Mr. Wood.
This is just an anachronism. It talks about the Sandy River pipeline before it was built.
Again, I support that amendment. That's the third of the long list that we've gone into. The 10-day notice and the 250. This is the third requested amendment that I support for the rest. Controversy.
Sorry. The next amendment is the Vicki Diamond amendment, my secretary. She, every time we have to serve something, you can't believe what we have to go through. Copying, addressing the envelopes, getting stamped in the post, it's hundreds of dollars every time we send something. It's, in this day and age, it's just done. So we'd like the authority to use email service as a fallback for folks that don't have it.
Our sister water district had a central basin had a problem because, according to the judge, required them to serve. They had a lawsuit going on against Metropolitan Water District, and they were required to bear the cost and expense of serving all the other metropolitan entities. And the lawsuit fell apart just because of it wasn't worth it to bear that cost. I don't know why the judge wasn't allowed to use electronic service rather than paper service, but a year or two ago, a lawsuit to Central Basin had pending fell apart just because of a provision like this.
Well, that's the exact reason why we want this. We want clear court authority to handle service in this fashion. There are any number of courts that allow email service. You just got to go in and ask for it and get the authority in place.
So they can reach into the public pocket and aggressively go after people as court. If they choose, if the board chooses to direct them in that direction.
Okay, moving on.
Assessment rates and limitations. This is, we've pretty much covered this. This would make it clear in the judgment that we're not restricted in our assessment authority to this bucket for bucket approach on assessment for replacement water. I think this is the final one. I think this is a suggestion coming out of your general manager who I think, rightly suggests we should have a plan in place to try to foresee what our needs and opportunities might be on a three-year basis to plan for these purchases and try to keep people at heads up as extent as possible. So this plan would be in place among water master and responsible agencies to try to give everyone some lead time and meeting their responsibilities. So as far as the amendments are concerned, that's all I had at this time. I've entertained any additional questions.
Yeah, we have a request to speak by Mr. Royal Brown on the two well situation, right? Hold on. Hold on, Mr. Brown. Let me just ask if any of the board members have anything else to add. If not, we'll go to anything from the board members. No? Okay, Mr. Brown.
Page 5 of the actual amendments. Section 50, minimum producers. I should like you all know that I'm a former hearings engineer for the State Water Rights Board. This general area of property rights, a deal that what the Water Master is proposing here, denies landowners property rights. I draw your parallel to what is the history of water rights and mineral rights in the state of California. The only way you can sign away your mineral rights is to make a finding of a grant to somebody formally filed with the county recorder, and this goes around that concept. Around the bridges of the water boundaries of this basin, so there are a lot of people who draw little wells, not part of the judgment. And as these properties are developed and things, if the owners of the property have not signed away their water voluntarily to the water master, they would be prohibited by this provision that the water master is inserting into their judgment that would prevent them from developing their own resources underneath the property they own. And that's an infringement of their property rights. That could lead to a lot of litigation. So the whole idea of not having any new minimal users infringes upon the property owner's rights to utilize the own resources that he has underneath his property. And the president has long been said that mineral rights have a formal procedure of filing with the county and recording it. And each county then assesses part of the taxes based upon that value of that right. So this is a major change. So I feel that it's inappropriate for a water master to get involved with something that's really something that should be a statewide thing. Make it consistent statewide. There's a whole series of water master areas in Gold Rush Country and things like that. That water rights are very critical to the development of mineral rights in California underneath a certain property. So that, I don't think, is really appropriate to wipe out once and for all by a judgment change. Then, however, Section 42, the top of page 42, page 5, that's an important change. To take off the upper limit for bringing in replacement water or supplemental water. The physical limitations is what's really important. That's on the 605 freeway. And the 605 freeway is much higher than 250 feet. So this is an important change to increase the capacity legally of the water storage in the basin. nobody's ever really, as far as I know, has ever challenged going higher. But this change is long due to allow for water managers to bring in more water and store it in this basin because of physical limitations. So this one is a good one. Will allow more conservation of water in this basin in the future.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Mr. Johnson, anything you want to add to some of the comments or anything you want to?
I don't think so. We all definitely agree with Royal's comment on the 250 elevation. For the audience and the board's perspective, the original 250 elevation was put in for a couple of reasons. It was originally put in because of the gravel operations along the river, and the gravel operators are parties to the judgment, so it was a compromise with those parties to the judgment. Secondly, it was put in because, and keep in mind, the 250 elevation is limited to imported water. We can put all of the local water we want in this basin. We can fill this basin up. We can flood the 605 freeway. We can do whatever we want with local water. The limitation is on imported water. And the other reason why the limitation was put on imported water was basically for water supply management, so that we didn't purchase a lot of expensive water, fill the basin up, and then have a local water supply and have no place to put it. So those are the two reasons. And we think at this point we have enough understanding to manage those two contexts, both the gravel operators and the local water supply, to be able to lift that limitation and manage the basin.
Great. Mr. Samansky has something, Royal. Please.
Just one question on the impact on the gravel producers. You indicated that they were part of the regional compromise. Okay, so how would that affect them now? What terms
of the United States? We still have to go through that. As Mr. Kuda pointed out, this is a discussion. It's a compromise. Everybody's going to be on board before it goes forward, including gravel operators. The gravel operators, since the entry of the judgment, have created situations in their pits where they're actually mining most of their gravel underwater anyway. So they put equipment in that they can mine now. They have to mine that gravel underwater, so it should not be a limitation for them anymore. Their biggest concern anymore is the rapid changes in water levels in their pit because they have to move their equipment. We don't have a lot of control on going up, and we don't have a lot of control on going down. So we'll work with them the best we can, but when we have a drought, you know, the water is going to drop, and when we have the local water supply, we're going to spread as much as we can, and that water is going to come up, which we're seeing right now. But yes, we'll be working with the gravel operator.
Mr. Brown, you can comment real quick.
I should point out page 5, in red, as of white 2011, there shall be no new mineral producers. That's a problem. Right in there.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I'd also like to point out that there's been no news coverage of this item. The minimal producers aren't here to give their side of the sort of story, and I don't think there'd be a lot of support if they knew about it.
Okay.
The news media, they dropped the ball again today.
Mr. Fulhausen, and then we'll just we'll come back, because I think we've given this right quite a bit of coverage, you know, for the last 30 minutes or so.
The only thing I would do is read the last part of that sentence. It just says that there shall be no new minimal producers, which means that these people that produce less than 5 acre feet would have a pass. They wouldn't have to meter or retort or do anything. But it says any new producer shall be subject to all provisions of the judgment. It doesn't take anyone's rights away. It just says you, like anyone else with water rights, would have to comply with the judgment. That means you have to report, you have to meter. To the extent you exceed your water right, then you would have to pay every punishment.
And I suppose if they felt like they were mistreated, they'd have to file a lawsuit and they have to sue the Water Master Board in order to defend themselves.
They can march into court and on 30 days' notice without a lawsuit and talk to the judge.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's a more complicated than a small claims court situation. Some people don't want to do that.
Yes, okay, we have one comment from the back, and then I'd like to wrap this up if we can so we can move on. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I want to address the...
Can you identify yourself, sir?
Yes, I'm Paul. Mr. Chairman...
Yeah, Paul Avila, you're... Are you... with the water, just are you just a constituent? Okay.
I want to address the legal counsel and invite you that because the questions have been overlapping each other, is there a mechanism within the water district to future purchase a measurement of water? For example, you buy a measurement of water for $100 and you store it, as the chairman was indicating.
Yes.
Was that discussed here? Or did I miss
it? It's an existing provision. We don't intend to change that. We just intend to enhance the ability to do that sort of thing.
Okay, gentlemen, what's your pleasure in this?
As I said, I'll move that we draw up a resolution that will recommend that we send three of the amendments to the judge: the 10 days notice, court confirmation provision, the 250-foot provision. The gravel company, that's also that issue's in case law as well. If anybody's ever met Royal, he'll tell you about the Niles Cone case where gravel companies were defendants, and that issue has been before court and settled. But I support that amendment as well as that amendment. It was a cleanup amendment in the back about the pipeline. I don't see any problem with that. But those two amendments I see as no problem. And I'll move that we draw up a resolution. But the rest of the stuff, I believe the judge is wise enough to not go there, but maybe not if there's no opposition when they appear in court. But I'll move a minimalist approach. I'm not much of a student of history, but I do know that if you go to Wikipedia and if you look up the Enabling Act of 1933, things were bad in Germany in those days. And people were up in arms. And the legislature, after a presidential election, the legislature voted to abandon their powers. The Fuhrer said, we'll give you your title and you can keep your pay, but give your powers to me. I'll solve all the problems. And so the legislature gave their powers, voted their powers to the Fuhrer, and he did what he did. If you can find out, and I think the same process is going
Mr. Robinson, I'm sorry.
In Michigan today, elected legislatures are being shunted aside and czars are being set up to solve problems and handle them.
You had a motion, Mr. Robinson. I just don't know what the motion was.
Well, the motion was to recommend the court repair all this damage to the three.
All right, and Director Robinson, if I could try and assist so the record is clear.
The three are...
Referring to the staff report at behind tab B, you talked about the one of the issues is the 10-day versus 30-day notice provision.
Yeah, Mr. Kudas mentioned the November elections and the problems we've had with 30 days notice. And that 10 days is enough.
That's item 2 on the staff report.
That's
Director
Kudas, Mr. Yeah, I support that one.
And then the second one would be the lifting the 250-foot limit on the key well.
Yeah, I don't see any problem.
And that is...
near the end, there's a...
That's item 10 on the staff report. And then the third one, is it the same, Gabriel, the old pipeline issue?
Yes. There was laughter when I said I supported that one as well.
I believe that is...
it's page 11 at the top on the pipeline. The rest of it is just the transportation and it turns the water master into a czar. And it would take a very expensive lawsuit for them to clean up the mess we would create.
So that would be item 17 on the staff report.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a motion. Is there a second on this motion? If not, then... Is there a motion? Is there a second on this motion? Seeing that there isn't a second on the motion, it fails for lack of a second. Perhaps this is a lot of information. I just consulted with the general manager, and perhaps we should table this. I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
Well, Mr. President, I had a question. Was this a presentation, discussion, or do we need to take action?
It's an action slash discussion item, so I don't know. What's the pleasure of the board?
I was wondering what Water Master wanted to do or what the legal counsel was.
The water problems, we understood that they wanted the Upper District to draw up a resolution supporting this.
I don't think the board needs to take action today.
But we can.
But you can. It's properly agendized if you choose to take action today.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. President, then I'll move to approve the presentation or approve a resolution approving the action of the Water Master.
In total?
Yes.
Okay.
Including the three pages that Mr. Robinson asked for.
So there is a motion and a second to accept the amendments as requested by Water Master. Correct?
I think what Water Master is looking for is a resolution of support.
Okay.
So it would be a motion to instruct staff to prepare a resolution supporting the proposed amendments to the judgment.
Okay, that's the motion.
That is a motion. There's a second.
Well, here we
go. Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, just to continue my comments, the Enabling Act of 1933, if you can find a legislature that's lame enough to give away all their powers and create a czar and another level of government, you know, it can be done. Maybe it can be done today. But it's a big mistake, and it's going to cost the ratepayers a whole lot of money. There isn't a public, there isn't enough public awareness of what is happening right now. And the same thing is happening in Michigan today. Unemployment is 25 or 30%, and local legislatures are being shunted aside, and the czar is taking over, and they're saying, we'll take care of everything. Those guys don't know what they're doing. It happened in Germany in 1933. It's happening in Michigan today. And maybe it's happening in the same Gabriel Valley as well. This is just going to duplicate existing powers and cost the ratepayers a whole lot of money.
Okay. Any other comments? If nothing else, roll call vote, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
I'll just say.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, moving on. Committee reports. Many reports are in the package, in your package. So you make the leisure. And you see the dates of the next committees that we're having, the dates and times. So hopefully that we can have you participate and come to our meetings. Items removed from the consent calendar. Any items removed from the consent calendar?
I'll move it.
Move that consent? Okay, very good. I'll move the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Information items. Press releases are all included in the paper articles. Attorney's report.
No report, Mr. Chair, but we do have a closed session on several items. 54957, performance review general manager, 54956.9, potential litigation, two phases.
Engineer's report.
Thank you. thank the President. Just a very quick report of the facts. The Long Park sea level as of August the 12th had dropped to 233.6 feet. It dropped about two-tenths of a feet from the prior week. So we are dropping a little bit, but we're still spreading water. We're going to continue to spread water, but so we'll see it stabilize. Some other information since January of 2010, over 100,000 acre feet of imported water has been spread in the basin. In addition to local water, a lot of imported water. We're still spreading imported water, so that's good information. On the local front, we are still about 61% of capacity in the canyon of our reservoirs, so we still have water to spread in the canyon. Inflow to San Gabriel as of this week was about 75 CFS, which again is somewhat unprecedented to see water coming in to our reservoirs in the middle of August, so that's also good information, and that's all I have.
Very good. Any comments to the general, probably to the engineer? No? Okay, general manager's report.
Metropolitan report.
I was should he send this report?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Water quality authority report.
Travis?
Yes, Mr. President, just on item number 17, the Water Quality Authority. Their meeting today, they changed the time from 9:30 to noon, so folks could still make it for today. But because item number 17 and 18, they only meet once a month, and we have these reports coming before us twice a month. I submitted the written reports for both of these agencies at our last meeting, so that should cover the full month.
Suggestion for future agendas on the second standing meeting, which is
remove those two items.
Report items.
Yeah, water, 17 and 18, right? Our water quality and water mass, remove those. Second meeting.
Yeah, if I may, I would suggest just doing a monthly report on the attorney's report, engineer's report, and general manager's report. But of course, it's the board's pleasure. I can provide an update biweekly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Biweekly update.
Okay.
All right.
So, is it okay to, Mr. Robinson, to remove water quality and water master and just do that once a month? Or you
want? I don't know if there's. They're meeting once or twice a month. Twice.
Once.
Well, then maybe once a month is good enough. There's probably no other new things that
even just take care of those. Director's comments, starting with Director Robinson.
Well, a couple days ago, a little birdie landed on my shoulder, whispered in my ear. And the suggestion was made that the upper district purchased the funeral home in Almaty, adjacent to our property, and that we renovate and expand that facility and turn it into a facility that is suitable to house both upper district and the Water Quality Authority. I'm not particularly enthusiastic about even that, but I thought I'd pass it along. I mean, it's preferable to the situation that we find ourselves in right now, a public agency with suitable facilities in Ohio, in a revitalizing area of El Monte. Here we are off in left field. This is where we put ourselves. But it seems like an idea that ought to be considered that we purchased the property right next door to us and used that to renovate. I don't want to see it raised in a new structure built, but perhaps we can expand and renovate in a fashion that we could house both the San Gabriel Basin Water Quality Authority that lives in West Virginia now and also ourselves. So that might take a few years to work out. I thought I'd pass that along with a little birdie told me.
Thank you. Mr. Dr. Travis. Director, I don't have anything. Future agenda items, anything? Seeing none, we are going to turn ourselves to a closed session. Is that correct, Mr.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957 to discuss general manager performance evaluation. No formal action was taken. The board also met pursuant to 54956.9 to discuss two items of potential litigation. No formal action was taken on those matters. That concludes my closed session report.
We are adjourned.